Well, I know some of you have pets and dogs. How many of you have pets and dogs out there? Yeah, I have a dog, and I always like to talk to my dog in a way that my dog understands me. The dog always knows when I'm talking to him. How many of you know this? Like the dog, yeah, you know the voice. Sometimes I'll be chiding the dog. I'll be saying, no, don't do that. And he knows exactly that I don't want him to do that. Other times I'll be encouraging him, good job. You know, I'll say him in a different way. And other times I'll be calling my dog or my dogs to do something. And I'll do it in a way that says, come on, let's go. Or they know something. Or I'll whistle them in a certain way. And they know it's me. I barely need to say the words, but they know the way I say them about how they're going to obey or what they're going to do. And they know immediately through my voice and through the way that I say things, the way that I whistle, that it's my voice that they're listening to, or it's my voice that they'll follow. My name's Keith Harcombe, by the way. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And this week, we are in our third week of our series, The Stories Jesus Told. In the first week, we talked about how Jesus told the story of the sower, and how that he wanted us always to have good soil in our life and try and get rid of the things that cloud out the good soil, and about us listening to the word and being able to grow 30, 60, 100 times. And in the second week, we talked about the lost son. Sorry, it was the other way around. The lost son was the first week, and we talked about how the father rejoiced when the lost son came home, and that when someone's lost and then they are found, we should rejoice and throw a party. This week, we're on one of the favorite, one of the top 10, if you like, of Jesus' stories, when he talks about the parable of the sheep, or the parable of listening to the voice. The voice is important. The thing that you listen for in life is really important. In my family, we have a special sign, or a special language, if you like, that we're always listening for. It's called the heart whistle. It's a whistle that you might have heard my wife whistle me in the lobby as she's asking me what kind of coffee I'd like. But there's a special heart whistle, and it goes simply, I'm not going to be able to do it now, I'm speaking up here, but it's just a simple, and that's it. And when that person says it, the other person will listen for the whistle, and they'll whistle back. Now, this developed a long time ago in the 1940s. Remember when we didn't have cell phones and GPS and Find My Friends and Life 360 and those things that helped you look for where your other family members are? And people just roam the planet and nobody knew where you were. It was amazing. Well, they used to go to the racetrack, and the brothers and sisters, Rose and George and Johnny, they would get split up, of course, around the racetrack. So Johnny developed this special whistle for them to find each other, and they'd whistle each other. They'd get lost to the racetrack, and they'd whistle. And then the other people would whistle back. There you go. Look, my family's here. I couldn't do that in the first service. But anyway, so they'd find each other, and they'd find where they were. And once they heard that whistle, they knew that they were safe and secure. They knew that another family member was with them, and that they could go home and be together. And they knew they were in the proximity. And this heart whistle passed on to the daughters, the ones that are whistling over here, and then subsequently passed on to their children and other family members. So the heart children had the whistle, and we passed it on. Then I met Julie, and she was whistling me. I'm like, what the heck are you whistling me for? What am I, a dog or something? You know. And after a while, I realized that it's a good idea to find each other when you didn't know where you were. So different families that have been connected to the Hart family, the Harcombs, the Binghams, the Freemans, they've all adopted this whistle, and we've all taught the children to listen for the whistle. It's better than GPS. It's better than Find My Friends. It's better than Life 360. You don't need a Wi-Fi signal to do it. It's just you looking for your children or your loved ones. Julie, when she first started using, got lost in a baseball field with her father, and they literally walked around the baseball field whistling each other, and they finally found each other. So whether it's a racetrack or a baseball field, just recently I've been buying clothes for my youngest who's going to college, and I was in the department store, and I was looking for him. Of course, to find my friend says we were in the same department store. Not good enough. Right? I want to know what stall he's in, which one he's getting changed in to avoid me knocking on everybody's stall, you know? So I simply just whistled. And he whistled back. And I knew exactly which one he was in, so I didn't have to go knock on everybody's door. So the whistle is life-giving. It's secure. It gives you hope that your family member is nearby, and it says to you that pretty soon you're in the same proximity and you're going to be safe and secure and saved. Somebody who cares about you is nearby. The whistle, the voice that you are listening for is important for us to live our lives today. And that's the story that we are in today of Jesus. He says, listen for a voice. And we're in John chapter 10, one of our favorite chapters. John chapter 10, if you've got your Bible with you today, open it to John, the fourth gospel. If you've got it on your phone, go there too. John chapter 10. You're going to see something you haven't seen before when you read it in the congregation today. John chapter 10 says this. Well, before we get into that, this is a response to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are upset that the blind man is, it's so stupid, that the blind man is no longer going to be blind anymore. He's going to see. And the Pharisees say, how can this guy see? Surely his parents have sinned before, and therefore he's been born blind for a reason. And the entire synopsis, their entire premise of the Pharisees is that they are sons of Moses, and therefore they should be seeing miracles and not necessarily just any old people who are blind. And so this is the response to this. This is, they're looking for the truth. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a shepherd's sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Now, important for us to know in 2023 is that in first century Israel, that everybody had sheep. Everybody had three or four sheep, and in the village, your sheep would be on the ground floor. That would be where the sheepfold was, and then above them is where people would live. And you own these sheep, and the family would take care of these sheep, the children that were in the same family. Every day, the sheep would go out to tenure. They would go out into the wild, and there would be a person, a shepherd, that would pick up these sheep every day. Now, the owner of the sheep knew the shepherd, and he would allow him in through the gate. And he would open the gate. It's actually a door, because it's a tall door. And he would open the gate and let the shepherd in to take his sheep and walk them out to pasture. Now, after a while, the sheep knew who the shepherd was because they knew his. You guys are much better than the last service. Yeah, yeah, you guys are following. Yeah, they knew his voice. He didn't need to knock anymore and say, hey, it's Keith the shepherd. No, no, they could hear him coming. In fact, Bedouin shepherds, they had a way of speaking to their sheep, not necessarily just by the words they said, but like a grunt or a melody in the way they spoke to the sheep. Some would have a special whistle. That's a good idea, right? Someone have a special whistle in order to communicate with the sheep. And as soon as they heard the shepherd's voice, they were like, okay, off we go, we're ready to go. He would open the door, and the sheep would go out to pasture with them daily. And everybody was happy, because everybody knew, all the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. So this is something that happened every day, and this is a situation that Jesus was speaking into in the village that he was speaking at. Now, of course, everybody's following. All the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, disciples, not disciples, people looking for free food, they're all following Jesus and listening to what he says. And sometimes it's hard to understand, but this thing was right there. This situation was right there in front of him. And he says, this is what happens daily. And he says, anyone who steals from the sheepfold. So apparently these walls were 6 foot high. And it was when they got over, the thieves and robbers of sheep, to get monetary gain from them, when they got over, they couldn't really steal the sheep because the sheep didn't know his voice. Good job. So it's kind of hard to steal the sheep. And he says that the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Gatekeeper opens the door for him, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. So those who heard this, verse 6, those who heard this were confused. Those who heard what he was saying were confused. Oh, back it up a little, just 9:47. 9:41. It's so funny. He says this scripture. He says this story because of this verse here, 9:41. If you were blind, this is to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Essentially, Jesus is saying, you're saying you're not blind, but by you saying you're not blind, you're blind. You're blind. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. This is the message that I'm trying to tell you. This is the story that I'm trying to communicate. Here's how I'm trying to communicate. He says, some of you, Pharisees, and this is documented all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, some of you, Pharisees, some of you teachers are not good teachers. In fact, you're like robbers and thieves. You've taught people things that weigh people down. In fact, even in these three stories, we hear the Pharisees saying that this man was born blind because his parents had sinned. That a person should not carry their mat on Sunday if they're going to get healed. And they would place these things on them to weigh them down. And these were stealing their life from them. The people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were meant to be pointing to the law, pointing to God, were actually pointing them away from God. They were thieving them of their life. They were robbing their life and are contrary to what a messenger of God should be doing. I bet you if I went around everybody in this sanctuary today and those of you watching online and asked you, who in your life has robbed you of your life? Who in your life has been thieving from you in a place where you could have thrived? When I was in the Navy, I had a supervisor, and he consistently robbed me of life. I looked up to him. He was good professionally. He was a good mechanic. He was a good engineer. He knew what to do when things were happening. He jumped out of helicopters and knew how to rescue people. But still, he was robbing me of my life. And one particular time when he was teaching me something, I told him that I esteemed, I wanted to be an engineer like him. I wanted to go on this particular big course and be an engineer like him. And I'll never forget his response to me. He said, you'll never be an engineer, as electrical engineer, as long as your backside points down. For those of you who didn't get it, that's a condescending remark saying, it'll never happen. That's not life-giving. That's not pointing me in a direction. I mean, he was a messenger of God, but he just stole me of thinking of myself that I could possibly do better in my life. Even in our family, some of you have family members that have said things to you that have robbed you of your life, and it still goes round in your head today. These people jump over the wall, they're meant to go through the gate, but they jump over the wall and kind of steal things from us. And they say they've got a voice, they've got a special whistle too, but these whistles or these voices, they tell you to do something else which is not giving you the kind of life that Jesus wants for you. Lots of voices out there. There was lots of voices in Jesus' day too, saying there was a golden age coming. Don't listen to that Nazarene. He's got nothing good to say. The golden age is coming. What we need to do is get rid of this guy. We need to assassinate this guy. We need to take this guy down, and then the golden age will come. And Jesus comes and says, this is the way to live. He says, this is the way that's the truth. He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Anyone who comes to me except through the Father will know eternal life. So they didn't understand. Verse 6. They didn't understand. So Jesus explained this to them. Sometimes Jesus would explain the scripture. Sometimes he would explain the story to those who didn't understand. Not all the time, but this particular one, he explains. Verse 7. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me, Pharisees, Sadducees, were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He explains that he is the gate, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no guilt, no shame, no oppression to doing this. He's saying that all are welcome in this sheepfold, but I am the gate. I am the way to enter into this place. Pharisees, they're robbing you of life. They're stealing from you. They're leading you to a place of self-condemnation. But the true sheep, those who want to hear the voice of Jesus, don't hear them. Don't listen to him. And I know it takes a long time. I mean, it's 35 years for me, but I'm still listening to that voice. Listen to that supervisor. He says, those who come in, who listen to the voice, will be saved. They'll be able to think of themselves positively or flourish in life, in a life to the fullest, and they'll have a place to dwell in an area to go in and out, a place to abound and thrive in if you follow my voice, if you follow my whistle. Those of you who've decided to follow Jesus, those of you who've decided to go in through the gate, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life so that you might listen. You have the indwelling presence of God in your life so that you might listen to what looks like, sounds like God's will for your life. And the voice of Jesus is like the whistle, the heart whistle. It says, you found me. I'm here for you. I'm whistling back too. I want you to feel safe, secure, and saved. I love verse 10, Julie and I's favorite verse. The thief's purpose, I'll read it again. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I don't like that version. Here we go. Here's the CEB, life to the fullest. NIV, have life to the full. ESV says life in abundance. That's not enough. The Greek is superabundance. How many of you want life to the superabundance?
Woo.
Just half of you. Okay, good. Yeah, everyone else, just you just want abundance. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I want life to superabundance. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. He says, I have come, not that you feel shame and guilt and anger and anxiety, it's so that you have life in all its fullness, so that when you hear my voice, you will know it and you will feel safe and secure. The thief comes, sure, the thief's there. The thief is Satan. The thief is the evil forces of this world. The thief is the evil sometimes embodied in other people, and these things come to steal and destroy your life. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it in all its superabundance. In verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is talking. I am the good shepherd. And there's lots of other shepherds out there claiming to be shepherds. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And so Jesus changes the analogy. He's took the sheep out into the sheep, and now he's at the sheepfold. And sometimes the sheep would have to stay out overnight because it was dangerous, because there was weather coming or there was wolves coming in. And so he would gather them in a pen with walls, and there would be walls around the pen in the sheepfold. And as he was gathering his sheep, as he was saying, come on, come on, I'm gonna come into the sheepfold, as he's whistling them. They were coming towards him. He's doing his grunts, whatever it is. However, he communicates with the sheep. The sheep come in, and he has a staff. And as they come in through the gate, he puts the staff across the gate, and he lifts them up, lifts the gate, and checks them, makes sure they're not bruised, makes sure they're not hurt, or they've been bitten by wolves or the evil that is in the midst. And as he lets them all in, he counts them in. He knows them all. He knows them all by name. And he counts them in, and when they're all in, he takes a look around, and they're all in. It says he lays down in front of the gate, and he lays down, and the sheep are behind him. The sheep are behind him, safe, secure, and saved. Jesus says, "I lay down my life. I die, not only am I the shepherd, but I'm also the gate in which people come in, and I'll lay down my life so that you might be safe and secure, so that you might know the indwelling presence of God in your life." Often people say, how can I know God's voice? How can I hear the whistle? How can I hear the presence of God? I'm like, what can I do? And maybe some questions to ask ourselves when you're in a situation and wondering whether God's at work in it, whether God's speaking to you. Ask yourself, is this what God the Father would want for me? Does this sound like the voice of God the Father? Is it life-giving? Is it super abundant? Is this the way Jesus wants me to live? Does this sound like it's life-giving? Am I thriving? And finally, is this the Holy Spirit's presence in my heart, in my life, telling me that this is what He wants in my life? Does God want the best in this situation? We believe we can live life to the full, amen? We believe we can live life to the fullest. We believe we can live in abundance. We believe we can believe that we live in superabundance. And we know this through dwelling in the Good Shepherd, dwelling with the Good Shepherd, who's the gate, who lays down his life. Not so that you feel guilty, ashamed, or live in fear. It's so that you would have life. that you'd be able to hear him in a stadium, or hear him in a baseball stadium, be able to hear him at the racetrack, be able to hear him even in a department store. We have to listen for the voice of God, the same voice that the shepherd communicates, the same voice that the sheep hear. Yeah, there's robbers and thieves out there trying to steal your joy, trying to steal your life in superabundance. But listen to the voice of Jesus. It may just sound like this. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you want us to live our life in abundance. We're thankful that you came and laid down your life that we might live. And we pray, Lord, that we would listen to your voice as we live our lives, that we would hear it in distinct ways. Show us how to live on this earth, Lord. We ask this in your precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said,